Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We begin today with today's date, August 13th. That means it is exactly 1 month before New York State primary day, September 13th. And so we begin a series we will call Primarily New York. Primarily New York will cover primarily the issues, but also the horse race in the Andrew Cuomo versus Cynthia Nixon gubernatorial primary, also the Kathy Hochul, Jumaane Williams, lieutenant governor primary, Kathy Hochul, the incumbent with Cuomo, Jumaane Williams running as someone more progressive with Nixon, and the attorney general primary is interesting too, with Eric Schneiderman having resigned in disgrace, and the Democratic primaries against nine Democrats in the state Senate who have helped to keep Republicans in power there. Now, here in a nutshell is how Cynthia Nixon is running against Cuomo from an appearance on The Daily Show in June.
And our governor now, Andrew Cuomo, likes to say, oh, we're the most progressive state in the union. How can he say that? How can he say that when for the last 8 years we haven't done things like pass the New York Dream Act? We haven't passed the Women's Equality, the Women's Reproductive Health Act. Mm-hmm. We have tens of thousands of people, largely black and brown people, sitting in jail, languishing, waiting for trial because they can't afford bail.
Right.
We have, again, so many black and Latino people incarcerated for marijuana, something that white people do with impunity. We have some of the worst voter suppression laws in the entire country in New York State. How can you have been governor for 8 years and presided over this and not had movement on any of these issues? You can't call yourself a progressive, and I think, frankly, you can barely call yourself a Democrat.
Cynthia Nixon on The Daily Show in June. And here in a nutshell is how Cuomo is trying to fend her off in a campaign commercial running this summer.
He passed the strongest family leave law in the nation, toughest gun laws against domestic violence abusers, and he enacted equal pay for all. That's Andrew Cuomo. Now with Trump and the Supreme Court threatening Roe v. Wade, Andrew Cuomo is fighting back and leading the way, taking action to make it law so that no matter what Trump does, women's health care decisions are protected in New York. Proven leader, real results for New York. Andrew Cuomo, governor.
So a little bit of Nixon and Cuomo in their campaigns. One emerging issue right now is that Cuomo has not accepted any debate invitations against Nixon. Full disclosure, that includes a WNYC debate proposal with media partners Channel 7 and The Daily News. So with today being Monday, August 13th, and primary day being Thursday, September 13th, we launch our series Primarily New York with an overview today of what's at stake. With me for this, from three different corners of the Empire State, are here in New York City, Gloria Pazmino, who usually covers City Hall for Politico New York. From Albany, Elizabeth Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight on Spectrum News up there, sort of the equivalent of New York One in Albany. And from Buffalo, Ryan Whalen, Capital Tonight, Spectrum News, Western New York political reporter. We will also digress at some point with Ryan to mention the big political news from Buffalo this weekend with national implications. Republican Congressman Chris Collins, who was the first Republican in Congress to endorse Donald Trump for president, withdrawing from his reelection campaign after being charged with insider trading securities fraud by the U.S. Justice Department. Liz from Albany and Gloria from Manhattan, welcome back. Ryan from Buffalo, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Ryan.
Everybody there? Liz, you there?
Yep, I'm here. I'm just
good.
Waiting for the first for the first question.
Starting close to home, Gloria. How are Nixon and Cuomo trying to appeal to the progressive base in and around New York City?
So it was interesting re-listening to that ad that you just played from the governor, because even though the governor has a challenge from the left with Cynthia Nixon, he's very much been running against Donald Trump. It's what his campaign has been about so far. He's not really, he hasn't quite acknowledged the Cynthia factor of the race. He sees it as an opportunity to present himself as a national leader, someone who is going to fight against Trump, someone who is going to defend New York from Trump's agenda. And that's sort of been his tack so far. She's obviously running a very liberal challenge to him, making sure that she calls him out on all the not progressive things he hasn't done. We've been discussing the so-called Cynthia effect, pushing him to the left, criticizing him and in some ways making him jump to action in several issues in the last couple of months.
Ryan in Buffalo, how are Nixon and Cuomo running up in the Buffalo area?
Well, Cuomo isn't doing much running at all up in the Buffalo area lately. Mm-hmm. He has not spent very much time here. We've been looking at the public records, and it had been since April since he made a visit to this demographic area in Buffalo. He did make a stop in Jamestown, which is about an hour and a half away, and then in Rochester, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away. I believe that was last week. But while he was there, he didn't take any questions from media. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories as to why he may or may not be talking to Buffalo media right now, but he really hasn't been here very much, which is kind of different from what he did in 2014 when he spent a lot of time running here.
Liz, is the governor talking to Albany media, the sort of state political press corps, capital political press corps, like yourself and others? Is he doing campaign-related interviews?
Nope. I mean, the governor has not spoken to me for years, has not done a sit-down for a very long time. He does prefer media that I think is a little bit more controllable. He does some national news talkbacks, which goes to the point regarding his focus on Donald Trump. I would suggest, though, that he's not completely ignoring Cynthia Nixon. His campaign certainly has said a number of pretty denigrating things about her, you know, that she's sort of like a white wine sipping elite, and trying to paint her as out of touch with sort of the kind of New Yorkers who live more upstate. It's true that she's not spent a lot of time upstate, but neither has he, as Ryan noted regarding Buffalo. And he's really not well liked upstate at all. If you look at the results from the last gubernatorial election, he pretty much lost most of upstate, but that's not where the primary vote comes from, so mm-hmm. It stands to reason that that's not why he's focused at the moment. Though when you get into the general election, depending on who's still on the ballot, that could prove problematic.
And in fairness, is Cynthia Nixon, Daily Show notwithstanding, doing journalistic media interviews per se? Gloria?
Well, she's taken a similar approach. She has also, she's been all over cable news, the nightly shows, the talk shows during the midday. She's done
some. You mean the national cable shows?
Yes.
And midday network shows, but
yes.
Not local
yet so far. She's
right.
had
including
few
not this one yet, I should say.
That's right. She's had press conferences, and there's been opportunity to ask her questions, certainly, but no real one-on-one sit-downs yet that I can think of.
Ryan in Buffalo?
We haven't seen her very much. We've seen her a little bit more than the governor lately. She was here last week talking about her economic development plan in front of the Riverbend complex, the famous Buffalo Billion factory at the center of that recent trial. When she's here, she talks. She took part in the Buffalo Pride Festival. But, you know, she's spending most of her time running in New York City. And I think that Buffalo media and probably voters understand that, because most of that primary is going to be on the other side of the state.
I'll bite on economic development as an issue. How does Cuomo's Buffalo Billion Project play politically in your area? Mostly good because it's a lot of investment in the local economy, or more bad because of the corruption that's been revealed with it?
You know, I'm interested. I think we're going to find out from this primary, and probably more this general election, exactly how well the Buffalo Billion is still playing in Buffalo. For a while, it definitely had a really good connotation. People saw the factory going up, but I don't know that they're feeling the jobs, and they're definitely seeing all of the rough press from the last two trials. So, you know, there's still this kind of general feeling that money that's been injected from the state has sort of built this Buffalo Renaissance. It's gotten a lot of good articles from different parts of the state and country, but there's work left to do, as a lot of politicians have pointed out. So we have to see how the voters are thinking about it at this point.
Liz has go ahead, Liz.
Well, just to add regarding the Buffalo Billion, I think that there's really, unfortunately, not a lot of attention being paid outside of sort of trade media and business media regarding Tesla, which, of course, is the main player. Then there was a sort of flurry when Elon Musk said that he wanted to take the company private. But Tesla's been having a lot of financial problems. The financial structure of the Buffalo Billion has been questioned in sort of some more rarefied circles. Not even focused necessarily on jobs, but whether or not that company is actually going to be able to deliver given all the tax breaks and incentives it was offered. So there are some experts and critics who would say that the whole thing's built on a house of cards, and I don't think that that's filtered down to the general public yet, or even some general political reporters.
Ryan, you mentioned the Cynthia Nixon economic development plan. What's in that?
Mostly focused on infrastructure and raising the minimum wage. She wants to speed up the minimum wage scale so that the rest of upstate gets on the same pace as Westchester and Long Island. And, you know, she's talking a lot about doing it from a bottom-up sort of thing. I was trying to press her on, does that mean that if you're elected, that we sort of scrap the Buffalo Billion plan, and how much support do these projects that are already in the works or kind of finished already continue to get? And she didn't really go there, so I'm not sure exactly what the plan is for that.
And on the economy, you might call it, Gloria, in her emphasis downstate, Nixon is for New York State single-payer health insurance, mm-hmm. which Cuomo has not taken a position on, allowing public employees except first responders to strike, which they can't do now. Even Mayor de Blasio from the progressive wing came out against that on our show on Friday, and I think earlier. She calls herself a democratic socialist, mm-hmm. which Cuomo certainly does not. What would you add?
Well, she started calling herself shortly after we saw the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez win, right? And she was sort of the one who brought that label to the forefront. I thought that this agreement between her and Mayor de Blasio on the Taylor Law and public workers being able to strike was interesting. She's very much aligned with the mayor on many of these economic issues. She'd like to see taxes on the rich. As you said, she's for single-payer health care, something the governor has only said he will look at, has not taken a position. So I think in the next couple of weeks, as we approach primary day, we'll be looking to see more detailed positions on this stuff.
Now, listeners, your thoughts and questions on day one of our series, Primarily New York, with the New York State primary, 1 month from today, Thursday, September 13th. Say your very short piece or ask a question about any race for our three coroners political reporters. We can't call it a roundtable when they mm-hmm. come from Albany, Buffalo, and New York City. It's our three coroners political reporters at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Gloria Pazmino here in Manhattan, City Hall reporter for Politico New York. Elizabeth Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight on Spectrum News in Albany and from Buffalo. Ryan Whalen, Capital Tonight, Spectrum News, Western New York political reporter. And let's take a phone call from Jacob in Manhattan. Jacob, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I just thought the clip that you played from Cynthia Nixon was very telling because, you know, when Governor Cuomo says that he's progressive, I can't in good conscience vote for him after he proposed cutting $500 million from CUNY. I'm a CUNY professor. Mm-hmm. And then he said, when he was criticized for it in so many quarters, he said, well, they can make up the budget without cutting a dime, which made no sense whatsoever.
Well, he would say he's been progressive on so many of the big ticket items that progressives talk about, the kinds of gun control that the Parkland students and others are looking for at the federal level, banning fracking statewide pre-K, got the minimum wage on the path to $15, which is, you know, unresolved in so much of the country, and I could go on. What would you say back?
I would say that those are nice things. but I can't vote for somebody that wanted to make those kind of cuts. And then wasn't honest about it when he was called on it by Paul Krugman and by the New York Times and by the Daily News. It didn't even make any sense. He said, well, they can make up this budget cut and it won't cost the city a dime, even though he had earlier said, we're cutting the state budget and the city's going to have to make up for it.
Jacob, thank you very much for your call.
This Gloria. Is something the governor has done a few times now in the last budget cycles here in the city. He has tried to shift several costs, the cost of healthcare, the cost of running the city, the city university system, tried to shift that cost back on the city, and we've certainly seen that.
MTA also.
The MTA fight, yeah. Exactly. So something that doesn't always gets proposed, somehow it kind of always gets worked out, whether the city has to pay a lot more or it doesn't. But it has been something that he's been trying to do in the last recent budget cycles.
How about Cuomo's MTA? Gloria, that's become a hashtag, sarcastic hashtag,
right.
Cuomo's MTA, that Cynthia Nixon either started or is using. Does she have a plan for running the MTA any better than he does?
Well, I'm not sure that she has a plan that's better than the governor's. She certainly seized on that as an issue, and it's been a central focus of her campaign. And she's riding the subway every day and tweeting about it and being on social media about it. And it's become a central point of her campaign, saying the governor doesn't ride the train. He doesn't know what you're going through every morning when you're stuck on the A or on the 6 or what have you. She's been using that very effectively. Now, whether or not she has a plan to fix it, that is any better than the governor's, I'm not so sure. You know, it's the MTA problem right now is one of those. There's no one size fits all solution for the problem that we have.
Liz Benjamin, anything to add?
Yeah, I just want to point out that the most recent Siena poll actually, and we should note that the governor, while there is a Cynthia effect, as has been noted, and he has been pushing to the left dramatically, and again, how that plays in the general election remains to be seen, although I think he more has his eye on something bigger, which could be 2020 and the White House. But the polls, he's running as if she's right on his heels, and the polls indicate he has a very wide and comfortable lead over her. And in terms of things that New Yorkers feel that either of them would be stronger on, though the MTA you would think would be an issue that she could really connect on, and yes, it's true, you know, the hashtag is sort of something that seems to be catching on social media. It's not really filtering down into a widespread feeling because the numbers aren't there for her on the MTA. And I'm surprised because the MTA is certainly a divisive issue and one that I thought she would be able to capitalize on. And it's just, according to this poll at any rate, it's just not there.
Robinson in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robinson.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My main thing here is, you know, I was one of the people who voted for Zephyr Teachout in 2014, and I feel like with New York State politics, we are, as progressives, are constantly having to put Andrew Cuomo's feet to the fire when it comes to progressive issues to get him to do anything, really. When it came to family leave and all that, as far as I remember, that all came after, you know, the whole shock of Zephyr getting, I think it was like a third of the primary votes without much attention. So, you know, when it comes to Cynthia Nixon as a candidate, you know, I wish we did have someone with more experience running from the left. I've heard people, I think with Trump becoming president and everything, there's a lot of people who they see a celebrity running and automatically, you know, want to run away or get pissed off about it. But I'm going to vote for her in this primary on the 13th because, like I said, Andrew Cuomo, he, from what I have seen, refuses to create any progressive legislation unless he fears he's going to lose his primary. Mm.
Liz, you're humming.
Yeah, I mean, I given my history with the governor, I'm no slacker when it comes to criticizing him when it's necessary. But in this case, I have to beg to differ. I mean, you know, he does fall back quite a bit on the legalization of same-sex marriage and the SAFE Act, which is gun control legislation, but he's done quite a bit, even when not challenged. There's Raise the Age, for example, which didn't come out as advocates wanted it. Certainly, it's not perfect, but he did do it.
Raise the age of being treated as an adult in the criminal justice system.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. And he's used his executive power, plus there's minimum wage, plus there's paid family leave, plus there's bereavement leave, which I believe he's probably going to sign if he hasn't already, plus that he's been using his executive power to circumvent the Senate Republicans to do things like transgender protection. He's been talking a lot about immigration and rights for people who are not documented. Now, you might argue, and you would be right, that he has enabled the Senate Republicans for years and that he could have gotten many more things done, like campaign finance reform and women's reproductive health and the codification of Roe versus Wade, et cetera, if he had let the Republicans, sort of go by the wayside and supported the Democrats in retaking the chamber, though whether that would have been politically expedient for him on a financial side is something that we could argue. But he has done quite a bit. Mm-hmm. He really has. He could do more, yes. And, you know, marijuana is an area where he's definitely been pushed to the left, and he's gone reluctantly. But there are areas that he has definitely been proactive.
Alan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alan.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
Ordinarily, a state Senate race would not be important enough to discuss in this gubernatorial discussion. But because of the breakaway Democrats who prevented Democratic majority in the state Senate the last few years, one of the main members of that group, Simcha Felder, has finally had a Senate challenge in the primary this year. His name is Blake Morris. And I'm wondering whether you feel there's any focus by either gubernatorial candidate on that challenge, anyone taking an open position on that.
Alan, thank you very much. Thank you for making the pivot that we were going to make anyway from the gubernatorial race to some of the other ones going on in the New York State primary season. And if you're just joining us, folks, this is edition one of our New York State primary series, primarily New York. Today is Monday, August 13th. The primary is 1 month from today. Thursday, yes, Thursday, September 13th. And we have a Three Corners political panel here. Gloria Pazmino in Manhattan from Politico New York, Elizabeth Benjamin in Albany, host of Capital Tonight on Spectrum News there, and from Buffalo, Ryan Whalen, Capital Tonight, Spectrum News, Western New York political reporter. Gloria, that's a downstate question for, that one is for you. We'll get into the whole IDC and those other eight Democrats who are getting challenged on primary day, but what about Simcha Felder? Background people a little bit on him and why he's got a primary on his hands this year.
Well, Simcha Felder, known as a renegade member of the Senate, right? Always causing trouble, if you will, at the end of most budget cycles, holding up votes on things like speed camera bills over fights about yeshiva education and protections that he has wanted to get passed for a district that he represents. He does have a challenger in this upcoming race. I'm not sure that Blake, the challenger, has really sort of penetrated the discussion about him. Simcha has a lot of support in his district. But I do think that it will be interesting to see if a challenger actually picks up any steam, and if there's a real effort to get Simcha out of office, someone that, as I said in the beginning, holds up the budget almost every year. He caucuses with the Republicans, and it goes to this idea that we're talking about with the IDC, and I'm curious that the caller actually brought that up, because I've been wondering, and we're talking about polls, wondering about how much people are actually aware of this and how much they know what the IDC is, and if they understand, and I think New York voters are very sophisticated that way, if they understand what the IDC has done for the balance of power in the last couple of years.
And we'll talk about the IDC next, but to the caller's specific question, Gloria, if you know, and I don't know, have either of the gubernatorial candidates, Nixon or Cuomo, endorsed either Simcha Felder or his challenger?
No, not to my knowledge. I don't believe either one of them has yet gotten involved in that specific race.
All right. And then there are the eight members of the so-called IDC, Independent Democratic Conference. They all have primary challengers based on their past empowerment of Republicans to run the state Senate. They say they have disbanded and are today supporting the regular Democratic leader, for majority leader Andrea Stewart Cousins. But here's my question, Liz, if you're watching this as a statewide issue from Albany, which I'm sure you are, and former, you know, downstate or Daily News correspondent, have the IDC members made explicit promises for January, when that vote would actually take place, or are they only speaking in the present tense?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what's happening here, when you introduced Simcha into the mix, or when the caller did, he's certainly a problem, and he's a factor. He's actually the mega factor, or he was, until these primaries started popping up against the IDC, former IDC members. But that's kind of conflating two different issues. Simcha was never an IDCer, just to be clear.
Right.
He caucused with the Republicans. He ran on the Republican line. He's not a renegade Democrat who's affiliated with Jeff Klein. He's affiliated with Simcha Felder, effectively. That's his main concern.
And things having to do with the Orthodox Jewish
Correct.
Community and
Correct.
Some state
yep.
policy that favors those schools that some people think are not in the interest of the children
Correct.
In those schools. Those are, I think, the most central Simcha Felder controversies.
Yeah, which is the subject of a lawsuit at this moment. But in terms of whether or not kids are yeshivas are receiving a sound basic education as required by the state constitution. As to the IDCers, I mean, there was a peace deal that the governor, who was, of course, being pressured by the left from Cynthia Nixon et al. To finally get on board. You know, he promised 4 years ago when he got the Working Families line that he would help the Senate Democrats retake the Senate, and then he didn't deliver. And then this year, the Working Families Party went in a different direction with Cynthia Nixon, and he finally brokered this peace deal. And now the peace deal didn't hold, mostly because of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez ousting veteran Queens Congressman Joe Crowley, and people started freaking out about the power of the Socialist Democrats and the rising of the very angry left. And they started breaking out, and they started endorsing IDC primary challengers or former IDC member primary challengers, including Mayor de Blasio. Now, the governor is supposedly sticking with his peace deal, but I don't even know if the peace deal exists, to what effect it exists. Like, the regular Democrats are sort of kind of sticking to it, but I don't think, like, for example, I don't think Mike Gianaris, who kind of got the raw end of the stick in terms of the peace deal because he lost his deputy position in the conference, I don't think he's actively endorsing primary members to challengers to IDC members, but he's not doing anything else in terms of helping them either. So it's a very kind of a fuzzy situation that will not get figured out until after November or maybe even January, because I don't know where these races are going to end up.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another call. Rob, and of course we'll come back to the IDC question and the significance of that repeatedly in this series. But Rob in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You know, my call into the show was prompted by the discussion on Buffalo, so it's maybe...
No, we're still there, and we still have our Buffalo correspondent, and we were intrigued by the fact that you called yourself to our screener a recovering Buffalo resident. Is that right?
Exactly, and that's almost 50 years ago. But I still go up there about once a month, and my 101-year-old mother still lives there, my sister, and they're always touting how Buffalo's turned around. And they have done a lot of stuff on the waterfront, that's true. But they, like some municipalities down here, seem to constantly shoot themselves in the foot with the people who they elect to, run for office. And it seems to me, I believe the lieutenant governor is a former congresswoman from Buffalo or Rochester, somewhere in that area.
No, Buffalo, but, yep.
Buffalo, Kathy Hochul, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but before her, I think the last statewide elected official from Buffalo was Ned Regan, who was, God, how many years ago was that? You
know, and he was the state controller once upon a time.
And a Republican.
Exactly. And a Republican. So I think, you know, it's unfortunate that this whole Buffalo Billions thing has been shrouded with controversy. I think a lot of people were very optimistic. And I'd be curious to hear what Cynthia Nixon had about an economic development plan, because one of my father's, late father's favorite rants was when Hillary was doing her listening tour, and she said she had a plan for creating 200,000 jobs, and then she got elected. And my father said, so, you know, where are those 200,000 jobs? So, and I'm a Democrat, by the way. So it's...
So are you undecided between Cuomo and Nixon today, Rob?
Sort of. Yeah, I just feel that Cynthia Nixon, I think, is a breath of fresh air, that's for sure. But, you know, she doesn't have any experience as far as I know. Mm-hmm. She's an actress. And I just read in the paper the other day that Richard Gere might run for Congress. So it's...
Rob, I gotcha. Thank you for your call, and congratulations on having a 100-year-old mother. God bless her. thank you very much. So Ryan Whalen in Buffalo, is any of that ringing true? Does that kind of represent, even though he's a recovering, gosh, after 50 years, he must be recovered by now, Buffalo resident, does that kind of reflect some of the tensions in the area?
But, okay, there's a couple key points to touch on here. First of all, the waterfront that he mentioned, I think that's part of the general good feelings. You come down and you see the canal side harbor in Buffalo, and it looks entirely different than it did, you know, even 8 years ago when I came back to Buffalo and started reporting for Spectrum. And people see that and they think, wow, the downtown is really changing up. And just having those good feelings can go a long way in an election. It's optics. As for the jobs, specifically with SolarCity and Tesla and the Buffalo Billion, it's important to note that Tesla is, right now at least, on pace for the clawbacks and benchmarks that they set with the state with their contract in order to get the lease for this factory. But there's a couple important notes there. One is that those benchmarks have been revised over a lot of series of changes in that contract. And another point there is that a lot of the jobs that are in that factory that, we believe are part of the benchmarks that they've supposedly hit are Panasonic building existing products, not Tesla bringing in this new solar roof that they had originally promised. So there's a lot of questions about who's actually in there building things, who's getting the money for and why. As for what Cynthia Nixon is saying about it, one of the things that she pointed out is that she believes a lot of the money is going to the already affluent, the already white parts of the city, and she wants more of the economic development to be focused on diversity.
We're just about out of time. In fact, we're over time, but I want to get in one more question for you, Ryan, about Chris Collins, and I'll say that we didn't even get to the lieutenant governor race. We didn't get to the attorney general race. So it's a good thing we've launched this series a month in advance before the Democratic primary. We'll obviously be doing all of that. But Chris Collins, congressman, Republican from Buffalo, he was the first member of Congress to endorse Donald Trump in the 2016 campaign. He is now suspending his campaign as of this weekend, Ryan, because of the charges against him by the federal government of insider trading, securities fraud. And my question is, could a Democrat win that seat? I mentioned his early endorsement of Trump just as an indication of how populist right that area is has been. People even in our downstate listening area might remember that in 2010, the Republican gubernatorial nominee against Andrew Cuomo was Carl Paladino, who was kind of a poor man's Trump before Trump. And so could Chris Collins pulling out of his race actually wind up in the blue wave coming to Buffalo, or is that area immune from electing a Democrat to Congress?
Right, and Carl Paladino already throwing his name in the hat for this seat. But it's A Democrat is far more likely to be able to win this seat today than they were last week before this news broke. That being said, I think the big question right now is, can they get Chris Collins off the ballot at this late stage? Because Nate McMurray, if he's running against indicted Chris Collins, I think is pretty close, you know, and that's a crazy thing to say, maybe, that an indicted congressman would still be the favorite, but I think he would, but it would be a close race. Now, if generic Republican A comes in, whoever that is, I think that that race becomes harder for the Democrat just because of the demographics and because you're getting someone in, hopefully without a scandal, then the race becomes a little different. But we have to see what happens over the next week, 10 days.
There are logistics about whether they can actually get him off the ballot. Would Carl Paladino count as generic Republican A or
no?
Not really. He's too out there.
The race, it becomes very, very interesting if Carl Paladino becomes a candidate. I would maintain that I don't think that the local Republican committee, as much as they've supported Carl in the past, would think that he's the best candidate, because why bring in somebody that has the sort of history that Carl does?
Yeah.
But at the same time, they might not have a choice. If something comes down from, say, the Trump administration, who Carl was the co-chair of Trump for New York, I don't think that the local Republicans probably will say no to that. But if they can get by without somebody coming down from the top and telling them that Carl's a candidate, I think they'd probably like to go that way.
And so, listeners, this being Monday, August 13th, and primary day in New York State being Thursday, September 13th, here at exactly the one-month out point, we have just launched our series, Primarily New York, with an overview of what's at stake mostly in the gubernatorial race. We thank our reporters from three different corners of the Empire State today. Gloria Pazmino in Manhattan, who reports for Politico New York. Elizabeth Benjamin in Albany, host of Capital Tonight on Spectrum News there. And from Buffalo, Ryan Whalen, Capital Tonight, Spectrum News, Western New York political reporter. I hope we can have you all back during this month. Thank you so much for helping us with
the
launch.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We turn to national politics next.